saying that, should it be there to remind us about coal, or what do you recommend?
In the time that I was acting GM, we had no capacity to actually address the issue. I don't think that will have changed. My sense is it would be far better to simply focus now on what review of the air plan is necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Decker.
Just as an individual councillor, Mr. Chairman, can I ask some guidance? Because I've had a citizen who lives in the St Clair, South and Eden area, has been really on my back big time about coal being burnt in that neighbourhood. And he has sent me a whole bunch of photographs taken at various stages of the night through streets around the St Clair, South Dunedin interface. And they're pretty alarming. And he assures me that from the smell he's getting, it's people burning coal. And he's saying, why on earth aren't we as a regional council stomping on this, doing something about it, following the World Health Organization advice and simply banning coal? Now, I, as an individual, support his view, support it entirely. Nobody should be burning coal in Otago anywhere, in my opinion. But what do I do with this particular set of complaints and photographs? Is this something the council can move on?
Are they going to vote for you, Councillor Decker?
I've no idea. Probably no. Not.
You're wanting some help with that.
I'm just looking for advice.
We were talking about a similar issue just 10 minutes ago, myself and Mr. Winder, and I know that Councillor Lawton yesterday brought up a similar issue in relation to Arrowtown in terms of follow-up, in terms of those houses that are emitting, whether it's coal or whatever it is, beyond the boundary. So, Mr. Winder.
So, from an enforcement and compliance point of view, the council's ability to act in relation to the current air plan relies on whether or not the discharge to air is offensive and objectionable at the boundary. And to make that assessment, you've got to have a compliance officer on the spot on the day to make that judgment and do the appropriate assessment that confirms that it is from that house and from no other house and all of those sorts of things. So it's an incredibly time-consuming and not wonderfully uplifting experience. And the next step in that is, you know, whether the council's prepared to countenance the... Well, you then seek to go into the dwelling to discover what it is they're burning and whether what they're burning complies with the rules of the plan, which prohibits things like plastics and other substances, and whether once you get to that point, you're prepared to go to the next step of requiring them to put the fire out, and that has all sorts of nasty or challenging issues associated with whether or not that is their only form of heating. So my view on this has been the council needs to step back and not try to deal with this under the current plan from an enforcement point of view, but more think more holistically about a future air plan and a future engagement with households about their forms of heating. The councils that have made the biggest progress with respect to improvements in air quality have been prepared to work with communities to fundamentally change their heating sources. They have not sought to do it house by house with enforcement action.
After saying that, there is the option of considering a bylaw in relation to coal, yeah?
You're still left with the same challenges of enforcement as to how you what action you do and what powers you have to make it work, and that's challenging.
Okay, so in relation to this issue, Councillor Robinson,
The advice for somebody though who has got a very smoky chimney right next to them and they feel it's influencing their quality of life,
yes,
would be to ring the pollution hotline.
Yes.
And we would be required to go out and check, and we would need to enforce our roles and our plans, which said that you shouldn't have conspicuous discharge off the boundary. So if that's happening, then yeah, person's within their rights to ring up the pollution hotline and we'd have to respond.
And responses to date have included both visits and warning letters to households that have been in that category.
But have we prosecuted any house where, even if there was smoke coming beyond the boundary, a residential home?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that, and for us, you also implied that we needed to enter the house. Is that we couldn't prosecute without entering the house?
Offensive and objectionable you can determine from the street.
Yes.
But to deal with compliance of the rules with respect to what they are burning, the only way to do that would be to enter the dwelling and
we see require a search warrant?
We may well require a search warrant if they don't agree to allow you onto the premises. Yes, it's...
So
then do at that time, which is
like, so I think the answer is there's a certain amount that we can do, education and such like, and alerting the attention, but we need to get some more teeth in terms of our policy, maybe following this NES upgrade,
I'm not sure that it's necessarily more regulatory teeth. As I said earlier, the councils that have made the biggest progress has been through changing heating sources, and that's a combination of investment and other things and rules that prohibit particular types of burner.
Okay.
So it's a twin approach.
Okay, thank you. And in relation to Councillor Lawton's question yesterday on Arrowtown, that I think we were going to bring up again today. So we are writing to each resident of concern, and that will have a follow-up personal meeting.
So my understanding is a follow-up meeting to be scheduled. Those have not taken place yet, but they're on the list of things to do.
Yeah. So we're trying to work constructively with our community on this matter. Yeah, realising that there's some improvements required, on both sides. Okay, so there it is.
Warmth required.
I beg your pardon?
And some warmth required, Mr. Chairman.
And some warmth.
Some people, that's the only way they keep warm.
Yeah, okay, noted. Thank you. Assuming no other discussion on that particular matter, so I think we've agreed, Mr. Winder, to remove that item in terms of actions. In terms of wallaby control, Dr. Palmer, sitting back in this, is there anything further to report? It says in progress in the actions from our previous discussion and our MOU, is there anything of consequence that you can update this committee?
Mr. Chairman, the MOU has been signed by the chairperson. You'll recall there's an implementation plan that went with it, and we're giving effect to that. That includes officers meeting next month to talk through information gathering and reporting, and I'll be attending that meeting.
Good. Okay. We'll look forward to any councillors that are here. We're looking forward to an update on that.
Sorry. Chair, I just wonder if that's sufficient then to get rid of the action.
What does the committee... So, in terms of, like, an action is something that's of a certain urgency, whereas it seems to me the wallaby situation is now sort of just part of normal business. Yeah? So we can remove that? I'm not sure if we've necessarily got it under control, but it'll go into the normal reporting, Dr. Palmer, yeah?
Yes, it's been the practice to bring to you what I would call an activity report of this council.
Yeah.
And what the MOU requires us to do is to work collaboratively with ECAN and bring you a report that's got interpretation and analysis with it. And I think that's more meaningful for both councils. That's the thing we'll be discussing next month.
Great. Thank you. Okay, moving on then to our first report, General Manager Report on Progress by Peter Winder. Thank you. The key points that jump out for me are in relation to compliance, that over the past 3 months the focus has been on auditing permits associated with meeting the large-scale wastewater treatment plants and discharge of domestic wastewater. Issues identified include the ongoing low level of non-compliance with discharge quality from most of the TA discharge permits audited. So I'm sure that'll get some discussion. Forestry, the activities have slowed down. No dairy inspections. There's been limited contaminated sites activity. There has been ongoing progress with the compliance improvement plan, recruitment of a team leader activity. There's been various trainings going on. There's been a review of warrants. And there's been work in terms of full risk-based compliance enforcement strategy, which I understand is the draft has been completed and passed over to Richard. I certainly welcome, look forward to further progress and discussion on that. Thank you. Harbour master activity, look, the issue that jumps out there is in relation to CODC, and you'll see some information. What it says here is it understood that CODC resolved to initiate consultation with the OSC with the objective of transferring back harbour master functions. The deed of transfer set out an obligation for CODC to consult with this council and the Ministry of Transport, and also to extend the navigation safety bylaw. Officers will prepare a full report to address the issues. Options and processes must be considered and resolved in order to respond to the CODC. So maybe, Mr. Winder, is there any update on any of the items? For example, we have received that information, that application from CODC, yeah? It's arrived in the mail.
Brian, can you introduce the new person's
name? Yeah, sure. So, Richard Saunders. I referred to Richard when I kicked off. Apologies. Maybe a brief intro to this committee. And I do apologise for the lateness of that, but
that's right. Thank
tell
you.
Tell us a bit about yourself,
Mr. Chair. So yes, Richard Saunders. So I'm now 9 days into the general manager regulatory role. I've moved up from the Dunedin City Council, where I was group manager transport. So I've had a number of interactions with staff and councillors through that role.
In multiple
contexts. So I have a local government background prior to Dunedin City. I was with Auckland Council and Auckland City Council prior to the amalgamation. So I moved back into the regulatory space. I've been mainly operations in Dunedin. So looking forward to working with everybody.
Glad you're here. Great.
Thanks, yeah. Councillor.
Thank you. Councillor Lawson. So, Mr. Winter, just in relation to any updates here, that, in particular that maybe the CODC in relation to the Harbour Master application, it's arrived in the mail.
So, Mr. Saunders can deal with the Harbour Master stuff,
and
I think in terms of glad that he's here, no one's as glad as I am. So. or perhaps my wife. In terms of the other matters that you highlighted before we get to that, looking ahead, there are a number of compliance issues that need attention, and you know, you highlighted the issue of the low-level non-compliance,
yes,
of territorial authorities with respect to wastewater discharges. That's an issue where work started to go and look at the whole picture and what it looks like, and one of the issues that Mr. Saunders will need to pick up, and as will the council in the next term, is to look at the overall pattern of non-compliance and what to do about it, where it's most likely that there will need to be a strategy agreed with each territorial authority as to what they are going to do and the program of works that they will commit to address wastewater discharge non-compliance.
Yes.
That will be an important issue for the next
term. And also, can I say, the transparency of this information so that Joe Average in the street can relatively easily find out what the compliance is like. So there's a general understanding and expectation of accountability. So I think that transparency is really important. And secondly, what is actually the environmental effect of this compliance? Is it significant? Is it low level? As a matter of interest, what is the environmental effect? How much concern should we have?
And those are, I think, the important questions we need to address. For a number of the plants, you end up in the situation where there is a low level of non-compliance associated with a concentration of a particular element in the discharge, but as we experienced, for instance, with Lake Hawea, where the total volume of the discharge is significantly less than they're consulted, than they are consented to discharge. So despite the concentration non-compliance, the overall discharge of the contaminants was significantly less than that which they were consented to do. So you get a non-compliance, but not necessarily any worse environmental effects. So those are the sorts of issues that we need to tease through in the reporting and initiatives to address non-compliance.
And to be fair, I suspect that's one of the reasons why it sort of sat where it sort of sat, because there was sort of, rightly or wrongly, a perception that the environmental non-compliance wasn't significant. Councillor Lawton.
It's a really good point around the communication of this, Councillor Scott, and the upcoming consenting processes for the overflows for the Queenstown Lakes District Council and for the Clutha District. This type of communication and discussion with our community will be really important as that process happens. Obviously, they've both got a submissions process. It probably would have been helpful to have done this beforehand, but I think to take the community with those councils about the fact that this is big investment stuff, and everyone needs to try and work together rather than just keep slapping them with the non-compliance.
Okay, is there any comments in relation maybe to that particular matter in terms of the trade waste, low level of non-compliance? Any comments? Councillor Hope.
I think the important thing, like you've pointed out, Peter, is just to understand exactly what you've said. You might be wrong on one part, but the overall picture is, for want of the word, healthy, or just... That's what I think a lot of people don't get, the whole... I think it's how we also get that information out, without making it too sort of scientific for the public to digest. Yeah. I know it sounds a silly thing to say, but people do ask you about it and they jump up and down and you say, well, hang on, this is this part, then you got that part there. And I think you've analysed it quite well in your summary, and I think that's part of the education as well. This is, as Councillor Lawton said, to tell people, take them on the journey, but this is it, before they jump up and down, because there's a lot of that happens.
Yeah, but it's important that we have a even playing field between urban and rural, and all this is all part of that. So maybe moving on to Mr. Saunders, the Harbour Master approach from CODC.
Yes, so we have received formally a request to take those responsibilities back, and as indicated in the report, we'll prepare a report to bring to the final council meeting, outlining what's involved in that process. The request is for those responsibilities transferred before the summer, but there is quite a process to go through in terms of consultation and working in maritime and the bylaws as well. So we'll outline those in the report, and in the interim, the Harbour Master Sir Steve's having some discussions around what support we may be able to provide in the interim to support Central Otago with their bylaw.
Yeah, and can I ask, why are they approaching the OIC for this service?
I can't tell you.
Other and maybe than, they'll
yep,
come out.
They've reviewed their agreement with the resource they had undertaking their Harbour Master responsibilities. I think it was a review of that contract. Yep. And they've just seen that as an appropriate time to review the delegation.
No, that's fine. We'll talk about it in fortnight. Apologies for asking that question. Councillor Lawton, sorry, but into the microphone, please.
Apologies. It'll be interesting to see if QLDC follow suit.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
So, if I may, Mr. Chair, I think one of the issues that you may wish to consider is whether you initiate that process. The transfer arrangement with QLDC provides the opportunity to both parties to initiate a transfer.
Yes.
Given a change in approach with respect to CODC, a more coordinated approach across the whole of Central Otago to Harbour Master functions may be warranted, but that's a matter that the incoming council would need to have a think about.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, or have we got enough on their plate this summer, or are there synergies to do the bylaw once?
There is no way that you could do it for this summer. No.
Yeah.
And the Harbour Master operation in Queenstown is a substantial undertaking, so it's not something that you would do lightly.
Okay, so that's good. So I'm opening up for general discussion on any particular issue. Any comments? Councillor Neil.
Well, just a question, and maybe I should know the answer, Mr. Chairman. In terms of forestry, and it's no surprise that we've had less notifications of forestry activities, but what constitutes a forest in terms of a commercial forest? Is it an area? Who has to notify? Is it only the people that where there's a risk of pollutants entering water, or is it all forests? And if so, would small woodland owners be aware of that?
Well, I assume, Mr. Winter, that's at the time of milling that an environmental plan needs to be established, and it'll come down to the impact, potential impact on waterways or not, Mr. Winter.
So it's my understanding that the NPS for plantation forestry contains a definition as to what constitutes a forest, and there's a size threshold that applies. That, from memory, it's quite feasible that a forest block on a farm would constitute a plantation forest in terms of those rules, and may require a plan under the NES. And yes, as they approach harvest, then they need to work through an appropriate plan and the notifications, and they come to ORC to be processed.
Did that answer my question?
Yes.
No, actually.
So it depends on the size. I can't remember what the magic size is. It may be as small as 2 hectares. But
yeah, that, okay, thank you.
Just following on that, my understanding is the onus would certainly be on the operator who was undertaking the harvesting on behalf, you know, for the landowner. Yeah. They would be responsible to ensure that they had the appropriate consenting required, or management plan in place. Would be the operator on the ground, I would imagine.
Certainly, the operator has a responsibility, but. The landowner has the same obligation. So if the contractor does not do it, then the landowner would remain holding the liability. Yeah. So it's one of those joint and several sorts of...
Okay. Councillor Hogue.
Thank you. Through the chair, I just wanted to ask you, and this is just a thought in my head, with the transfer of the harbour master duties in Central, and say it happens to both, and they come back both under ORC, would that mean that there is some provision in those rates for that Central target area that they will then be paying for that duty? Is it something that could happen? You know, like you open up your rates and you've got all the different things, and then suddenly there's this new one for...
So taking it back, that you would need to make a decision as to how you fund that activity, and you could choose to rate for it in the general rate or create a new targeted rate. Those are matters you would need to consider in next year's annual plan as to how you fund an expanded harbour master activity.
Councillor Woodhead.
And it's only for Lake Dunstan delegation, which is part of the Central Otago district, which is another reason to have a good look at it. And
but what about the Blue Lake at...
No, it's ours.
It's ours.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only Lake Dunstan that the transfer of delegation occurred, and it's very clear if you read the deed that's there. And I was going to move the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Hang on a minute. Let me whiz back there.
Receive this report.
That receives this report. We have a mover. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Hope, I put that motion. Those four,
aye,
against, carried. Thank you. Moving on to our second report through the papers here. The second report is Consents and Building Control by Joanna Gilroy. Welcome, Joanna. That is a high-level overview of the Consents and Building Control activity of Council and the Deemed Permit Replacement progress for the last period. Key points under consent processing, public notification, there's one application from the CDC to discharge treated sewage from Waihola treatment plant for a period of 35 years. There were six applications were limited notified. There's one objection to decisions or consent conditions. Council has 18 objections to processing costs in the system. This is down from the 27 at the start of the year, and we're having a meeting, Councillor Noon, on the 24th to adjudicate three of those. All parties in relation to the Kaibun are now waiting for the court's decision. Nothing's changed there for quite a while. And the current number of consent applications for the system being processed is 182, which is a significant increase from 104 in the previous year. So while the workload has increased, I understand it is manageable. Deemed permits, there's been one application to place, 22 deemed permits was received, so there might be some discussion about that. There's little activity in the building consent realm, and the review and action in relation to council's resource consenting function has been processed. There's been various recruitments. There has been work in relation to consent conditions. There's a draft consents and compliance strategy. I mean, that's interesting. A draft consents and compliance strategy. So I'd be interested, maybe Mr. Winder, actually I'll come back to that, and there's been various meetings with consultants and discussions regarding Excella. So maybe a question there in relation to the draft consents and compliance strategy. Where's that at?
So, Mr. Chair, that's the same document as you referred to in the previous report.
Oh, the risk...
Yeah, so we have a draft, and one of the activities that Mr. Saunders is now doing is figuring out how to finalise that.
You're not charging twice for that, are you? Different names.
Two reports, same document. And no, I haven't yet discovered how I would sell that twice.
But thank you for the idea.
Yeah. Joanna, any comments?
Just one point of clarification on paragraph 2 as it relates to the public notification of the Clutha District Council application.
Yes.
Just want to clarify that it's an increase in scale in terms of the actual volume that they're discharging, but the overall application is for the same volumes as what they've had. So they haven't been discharging up to their consented limit in the past, but they plan to do that potentially under any new consent that is granted.
Okay.
So just a point of clarification there. I'm sorry for the confusion.
Okay, so that's interesting. Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's a hearing. It'll be publicly notified and duly considered.
Yes, so submissions close tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Okay, so I'm going to open up any discussion on any of these matters. So I think any comments, Councillor Noon? In relation to objections committee, like I think we're just systematically working our way through them as staff present the information. Yeah, we considered a number of months ago.
Oh, sorry, and three we've got this time. Three on the 24th. Yes.
Yeah.
And through you, Chair, the plan is to hopefully have all of those old ones tidied up by the end of this year.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've got a program.
Well, that's
of work
a bit of an ask,
those.
Isn't it? Because yeah. You're saying you've got 18. You've reduced the 27 by 9, and now you're going to reduce the 18 by 18.
So we've got a person working on those full time. So Kylie, who used to be acting manager, is working on those for me. Yep, to get those out of the way, so we can focus on the new things that are coming in.
Will they need to be considered by an objections committee?
It depends on the decision. If the objector is happy with the recommendation that staff makes around the costs, yep, the delegation rests with staff. But if not, then it
if
comes
they continue
to the committee.
To be concerned.
Yep.
And you, okay, well, that's excellent. Any discussion, anybody else? Councillor Woodhead, he's going to move to the recommendation.
Oh, well, in a minute if you want, but I've got a question first.
Okay.
And paragraph 35, just the comment on the financial year recovery from the consent staff. And what's the industry norm? What's your target?
100? A lot more than that. It is. Yeah. You would normally, and Joanna's information will be more recent than mine, I'm sure, but please correct me, Joanna, if I'm incorrect. But when I was running a consents team, we were aiming for 80% recoveries. That's probably a little high these days.
Yep.
But we are very low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So through you, Mr. Chair, the recommendation of the functions review is that we aim for 70% of our time to be cost recoverable. So we are below that. 70% is quite ambitious given that we deal with public inquiries and there's other things in that training and all of that. But it is certainly what we have there is low and we are aiming to move that up.
Thank you. The only other thing I'd add to that is there's a substantial amount of activity that has been off the back end of the consenting function review.
Yes.
All of which is non-recoverable.
Yes.
So, so to the extent we've had people working on improved systems and processes and training them to implement new standard conditions and so on, none of that time has been recoverable.
Yeah. No,
so as we come out the other side of that next year, we should be in a better position.
Sounds good.
I understand that. That's why I asked what was the target.
Yeah. Sounds good. Am I allowed to ask a question in relation to the one application to replace 22 deemed permits? Like, that was for a particular area. Are we, like, just in terms of our processes, are we still encouraging the replacement of deemed permits at this stage from a timing perspective, or are we trying to give ourselves a bit more time? How's that working?
So the one application that's come in is for the Last Chance Irrigation Company. My officer is actually on a site visit for that today. I can't give you any further information about that, but it is in the system and we're undertaking a site visit. In terms of encouraging other deemed permit applications to come in, a little bit tricky with the potential findings of the Skelton investigation.
Yes.
Yeah, and the timing of that. And we are still proceeding with our comms plan around that and how encourage people. So, yes, still working on it, but the timing is just a little tricky at the moment.
Okay, good. Any further discussion? Councillor Deacre.
I was going to ask a question, which goes back a bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's
I was sort of hyperventilating when I was talking about coal before, and I apologise for that. And I missed the answer to the question of when we expect the NES on air to come out.
So,
we're expecting consultation this side of Christmas. So, yeah, with then a decision made next year.
Okay, and that will enable us to review the air plan as soon as we know what that is. If we're of a mind to.
Mrs. Gardner.
Yes, there's nothing stopping us from reviewing the air plan except that we, during the annual planning process, committed to not doing any work on the air, coast or waste plan, given the workload we have ahead of us with fresh water and the other government load that's come to us. So there's nothing in the budget for this financial year.
Okay. But if the NES comes out with, you know, for example, four or five substantive changes or upgrades, would we be obliged to immediately put that into our an upgraded air plan, or would we just simply refer to the NES?
We can just refer to the NES as my
understanding. So that's interesting.
I think that the answer will depend on what the obligation from the NES is and how we need to give effect to it. The other matter, as we discussed in the workshop this morning, is we will need to look at airsheds in relation to the requirements of the NPS for urban development and the future development strategy for Queenstown. So, yes, we can expect that there will need to be changes to the air plan sooner rather than later.
That's all very helpful, thanks.
Yeah. So we've got to move it, Councillor Woodhead, for the recommendation to receive this report. We've got a second to Councillor Hope. Is there any further discussion? If no further discussion, I move to receive the report. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. And I think moving to a final report in the public session, the enforcement action report by Peter Kelleher, endorsed by Mr. Winder that's here. The purpose of this report in relation to the RMA, the Borough Security Act, the Building Act, enforcement activities over the last period in relation to resource consent infringement notices. There were three in relation to sediment into water. There was one in relation to pugging in the bed of a river. In relation to abatement notices, there was one in relation to pugging, two in relation to sediment, and there was one in relation to petrol contamination. And I note that there's one current prosecution. There it is. I open it up for any appropriate discussion. And there is the opportunity to dig a bit deeper and the public excluded. So there is a recommendation that the report be received. If there's no further discussion, Councillor Hope, we've got a mover. A seconder.
Yep.
Councillor Decker. No further discussion. I put that motion.
Aye.
Those for. Aye. Aye. Against. Carried. Thank you.